Update, brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Fast to my good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Wednesday, 15th of March, 2023 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. And background to the news and sport and business and Sea Watch and travel updates and the newsmakers in person tonight. The latest on that sex education investigation. 82% of farmers report livestock worrying. The Volland development goes to planning in 2 weeks. The Sulby Claddock camping consultation opens this month. And the Young Farmers Concert is going ahead at the end of the month.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Christian Jones.
Fastamai. Manx Utilities has published its annual report, which records a £30 million loss over the course of 2021 to 2022. Former chair of the authority acknowledged extraordinary wholesale energy prices in Europe spurred on by the war in Ukraine. Governments could remove the need for work permits so that potential workers looking for jobs on the Isle of Man have unconditional confidence in migrating. The Department for Enterprise has launched a consultation with hopes to remove any disincentives or barriers to employment to help meet the aims of increasing the population. And there are calls for tougher laws on the island to help prevent dog attacks on livestock. It comes as a survey carried out for the Manx National Farmers Union shows 82% of the farmers who responded have had to deal with livestock worrying incidents in the past year. In international news, the UK Chancellor has promised an expansion in childcare in England in his budget, which he says is a financial plan aimed at boosting economic growth. Jeremy Hunt's also declared the limit on the total workers can save for their pension before paying extra tax has been abolished. Meanwhile, thousands of striking workers joined a protest outside of Downing Street. Up to 500,000 junior doctors, teachers, civil servants, lecturers and underground employees have walked out today in rows over pay. And for the second time in 2 months, it would seem another Banksy painting has appeared, though it may already be gone. The anonymous artist posted two pictures of his work online, followed by a third showing a digger outside the derelict building with a huge chunk of wall removed. Those are the update news headlines. We'll be back at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face to face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Christian. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, still got a strong wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea, slight, later moderate and rough overnight. So the weather this evening, a wet evening, low cloud, moderate southwesterly, we're down to 8 through the night. And for Jerdain, Thursday tomorrow is cloudy with clearing rain, mostly dry through the day, but some hill fog, coastal mist and a fresh southerly wind up to 12 degrees. Mild tomorrow, mostly dry through the night into Friday. The overnight minimum is 8. For Friday, Jahenya cloudy with passing showers. Top temperature is 11. Sunset, 22 minutes past 6. Low waters at 29 minutes past 11 tonight. High tide, 20 past 5 in the morning. Sunrise, 29 minutes before 7. And low water tomorrow is at a minute to midday.
Manx Glass and Glazing can produce bespoke splashbacks for your kitchen in any colours. Speak to the team on 674 573.
Last of I, 26 minutes before 6, and some big news in motorsport tonight. Manx Radio sports editor Rob Pritchard.
Last of I, good evening, Andy. You may recall back in February that all road racing events in Northern Ireland were cancelled back in February due to rising insurance premiums. However, in the last hour, we have had a change in that, and an insurance quote has been secured now to allow road racing in Northern Ireland, including the Northwest 200, to go ahead this year. A statement was released in the last hour by the Motorcycle Union of Ireland Ulster Centre's Chairman John Dillon confirming the news. I'll give you an excerpt of that just now. Following the initial decision and listening to the feedback of the racing community, a crowdfundme was set up so racing fans could do their bit to help out. Although we know that it was a big ask, we are overwhelmed at the generosity of all who contributed. Combined with this total figure now raised and the determination by MCUI UC member Mr. Stephen Lyons, who has worked around the clock with our insurers to find a solution, we are now pleased to be able to announce a new insurance quote has been secured, which makes it possible for all clubs to promote their events in 2023. And that has also been backed up by a statement immediately after from the Coleraine and District Motor Club of the Northwest 200 to confirm that that event, the Northwest 200, will go ahead from the 7th to the 13th of May this year.
More details later on Manx Radio, thanks to Rob Pritchard. Details about the investigation into how relationships and sex education advisory curriculum is being taught in schools on the Isle of Man will remain confidential. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture has defended its decision to keep the terms of the reference private until it's complete, saying it wants to avoid prejudice. The Education, Sport and Culture Minister, Julie Edge MHK, faced questions on the decision in this week's House of Keys.
The department's initiated an independent external investigation using trained investigators who will speak to the key stakeholders where required. Until the facts of that situation have been established through that external independent investigation that we have initiated, I'm unable to comment any further.
Does the minister agree with me that by actually holding back this confidential information, it's actually creating a void and potentially creating unintended events? Transparency could potentially have prevented this. I'm also aware of one secondary school that's actually adopted the curriculum recommended by her department, but two refused. In terms of those refusals, did the minister actually ask for an update on why that happened? And have the people investigating this been given this information? Because it looks to be quite a material situation in terms of what the department's done and how they're responding now.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the Honourable Member is aware, it's an independent investigation. The investigators will look at all of the situation and ensure that they gather the appropriate information, and we will release a full report in due course. With regards to the RSE curriculum, it is advisory and therefore no school is required to deliver the exact content provided. They can tailor it to their school environment. And I'm not aware of two schools refusing to deliver it.
A new survey carried out for the Manx National Farmers Unions produced what's been described as a shocking statistic that 82% of the farmers who responded have had to deal with livestock worrying incidents in the past year. Here's the MNFU president, Sarah Comish.
It was a bit of a shock. I knew that we were going to get a lot of responses where people were getting incidents of sheep worrying from dogs. However, that is quite an astounding amount of farms just in the last year. Some farms have had just the one incident in the past year. Other farms have multiple incidents within a year. There's one or two cases where it's a repeat offender, if I can call a dog or a dog owner that. So whilst it's quite difficult for us to quantify exactly how many farms are being affected, I'd say the majority of farms that keep sheep at some point will have been affected by it. It is totally preventable. Our advice is always the same. Keep your dog on a lead wherever there is livestock nearby. That's the strongest advice we can give to people. Get some training for your dog. Secure your fences in your gardens, especially if you border onto agricultural land. And just take those small steps to prevent any of this happening, because the consequences, it's not just a financial impact on farm. It's a traumatic experience for anyone to have to go through. When it comes to incidents being reported by police, I've actually noticed that not that many are getting reported to the police. The responses we've had from our membership suggest that in some incidences the police have been very supportive, very responsive, and in others there's a lack of confidence in the police and in our legal system to be able to respond to these situations. What we'd push for from the Manx National Farmers Union is for much stronger legislation. We'd like to see government looking at Scottish law, where if you get prosecuted you can go to jail, you can get fined up to £40,000. That's significantly stronger than what we've got here at the moment. Also, we'd like to see DNA testing as a way of gathering evidence.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
Plans for a new 153-home development at the Vollen north of Ramsey are expected to be submitted to planners within the next couple of weeks. A recent public consultation held by Hartford Homes at Ramsey Town Hall attracted considerable interest, as the company spokesperson Julie Jones explains.
We had a really good turnout, very, very positive. Yes, there's always going to be people that would object. We're really pleased that they've come along and we've spoken to everybody basically to answer the questions. But I would say about 80% absolutely very positive, want us to proceed with the development. There's 153 new homes, and they sort of range between 2, 3, 4, and 5 bedrooms, and 25% of them are affordable housing, which equates to 39 houses, which you can actually apply through the government scheme and Douglas and have a chat with them, and they will give you more information on there, but those houses will definitely go ahead. I do want to mention that we have sort of put 5 acres for a possible school as well, which we've been asked to do, so that is there. We work hand in hand with Manx Wildlife Trust, got a great relationship with them, and we've actually, you know, the scheme's going to include an area of land above the promenade which will be managed for habitat protection and enhancement. And just to sort of give you some idea, obviously we'll have insects, birds, but also they're telling me about a hedgeway highway, which just sounds a little bit different, but that's what we want to do. We're going forward all the time, and I very much think improving. We will have, just as we've got in Ballyharran and Jerby, we'll have the air source heat pumps and the solar panels, which are very important, and we're finding, you know, a great response from the public with regards to this.
The Environment Minister says a public consultation on the future of the Sulby Claddock campsite will open later this month. Being questioned on the situation within the facility this week, Claire Barber MHK insists that views on how the Claddock should be run will be important.
Alternative suggestions for Operation Sulby Claddock were put forward at the public meeting, and these are being considered. However, it is important to stress that the operation of the site will still need to comply with both the Sulby Claddock bylaws as well as the guidance from the Isle of Man Fire and Rescue Service on fire precautions in campsites. The matter of liability insurance are also key components when considering the operation of the site, and these matters are more complex but being explored at present. I'm happy to confirm, though, that plans are now well under development to open for part of the 2023 season on a cost-neutral basis, with full details of dates and booking processes being announced by the end of this month. As I confirmed at the recent public meeting, but I would like to reiterate again now, there is and has been no consideration to selling the land at Sulby Claddock or allowing housing to be built on the site by any part of government.
Questions, Barry?
I think it's important that we appreciate that it's not only tourists who should be facilitated to enjoy our island. Local people are important too, and government decision making should start with ensuring that it meets the needs of local people and people living here. So can the Minister reassure the House that this is the case, and can she give any indication of whether the Claddocks will be available for locals to utilise as well as tourists?
I'm very clear that the decision on the future use of Sulby Claddock will be informed around that planned consultation, and I expect that predominantly that will attract local input. The impact on local businesses and local users has been the primary concern raised with me, so I'm grateful to the Honourable Member. We have had conversation about this, but certainly that has been the strong message, is around local use. From my perspective, as much as there is a need around TT for camping provision, this is about a provision that is available for everyone, and I'm certainly not seeking to exclude any group from use of the Claddock.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The motor ship Ben McCree departed Heysham at 2:06. She's safely in the inner harbour at the moment, going slow astern onto the links. Ben will be departing this evening at 7:45, arriving in Heysham at around 11:30. The overnight departure is at 2:15, back to Douglas tomorrow morning around 6. And the morning departure, Ben McCree heads for Heysham at 8:45.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information. Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
New dates for this year's Young Farmers Concerts have been released. The annual festival was due to take place at the Gaiety Theatre last week, but had to be postponed because of the snow. Secretary of the Isle of Man Young Farmers Federation, Brian O'Neill, says it'll now go ahead at the end of this month.
Everyone's put so much effort into their concerts, and it's, you know, months prior to the concert they're putting the work in. So for them to now still have those 3 nights to go out there and show off what they've done, I think is going to be fab.
Yeah, some of them are still digging out their cars on the Saturday morning. Vicky had put a picture up and she was having to dig her car out. And then just a Friday, if the ice, you know, if it had been icy, the worst thing we'd want is people rushing to come watch the concert and then...
Yeah, struggling to get home and stuff.
Struggling with no electric.
Yes, so it is Thursday the 30th of March, Friday the 31st and Saturday the 1st of April.
And all the same, you managed to maintain the same judges and the people involved?
Pretty much, I think so, yeah. There's a little bit of admin to do, but hopefully everything will run exactly the same. We'll have a big four-club full concert run through dress rehearsal on the Wednesday night, just to get everyone to brush off the cobwebs again, and yeah, we'll hit it on the Thursday.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 6:15. Now, the owner of Zara Inditex reports a surge in full-year sales and profits today as restrictions were lifted and shoppers returned to Zara stores. The Spanish chain, which also owns Paul & Bear and Massimo Dutti, amongst others, said sales rose 17.5% in 2022 to €32.6 billion. Net income was €4.1 billion, 27% up on the previous year. And for a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookall.com.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stock markets fell sharply amid the global Silicon Valley Bank fallout. US stocks plunged, oil plunged to more than 6%, and gold reversed course and rose. The numbers now from Ramsey Crookall. At the close in London, the FTSE 100 down 3.8% at 7,344. The DAX in Frankfurt down just over 3.25% at 14,735. A short time ago in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial was down 0.2% at 31,468. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 1.3% at 11,270. And the S&P 500 in Chicago down almost 2% at 3,842. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling trading at $1, 20.4 cents, €1.14, and 22 South African rand, 20.6 cents. In commodities, gold up 1.3% at $1,925 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 6.5% currently at $72.42.
The world was a very different place when Ramsey Crookall set up business back in 1946. But his passion for providing outstanding service and looking after every client as if they were one of the family has endured for over 76 years. So, if you're looking for the continuity of a personal, bespoke investment strategy, perhaps it's time to look at our discretionary services. Trustworthy, dependable, and tailored. Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wind.
The Department of Infrastructure could relinquish its responsibility for Ronalds Way Airport and hand over to a statutory board or a limited company. Well, that's one of the options floated in a new report into the future of Ronalds Way Airport to be placed before Tynwald at its April sitting. Underpinning the report, Isle of Man Airport Function, Future and Form, is the need to strike a balance between the airport role as a critical lifeline and making the most of commercial opportunities. Here's Simon Richardson.
The document to be moved by Infrastructure Minister Chris Thomas is split into three sections. The first two cover the current operational model at the airport and look at organisational structure, regulation, services and stakeholders before highlighting the challenges that need to be addressed and how an alternative strategy may be appropriate. Section 3 sets the scene for a future master plan to reflect the overall vision through policy and planning objectives. These, the report outlines, might involve air traffic control and security provision, terminal redevelopment, and a fresh strategic approach in terms of assets, general aviation, and contingency planning. In his foreword to the report, Minister Thomas says it's essential that the airport operates in a way that allows it to reach its potential and enhance its provision of air services to meet the island's needs. It's also hoped an alternative operating model might result in less public subvention. Don't expect rapid change, though. The recommendation is for incremental change and a step transition process to operating the airport at arm's length.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, good evening. Starting with cycling, and Mark Cavendish was unable to make it back-to-back wins at the Milano-Torino in Italy earlier today. The Manx missile won last year's one-day event for his former team Quickstep Alpha Vinyl, and in doing so became the first ever British rider to win the contest. But it wasn't to be this time around for Cav, as he was unable to keep in touch with the front-running sprinters in the final stages and couldn't break into the top 10. The race was eventually won by Dutchman Arvid de Klein of the Tudor Pro Cycling Team, his his first ever win in this contest. In a close run sprint to the finish in Orbassano, Fernando Gaviria of Movistar crossed just behind in second, with Casper van Uden taking the final podium space in third. In football, it's the grand finale of the under-18 season, with the Isle of Man FA Youth Cup final set to take place this evening. On paper, it looks to be an entertaining matchup, with Laxey taking on Onchan to face off under the floodlights at the Bowl at 6:15 p.m. Laxey go into Wednesday night's contest as reigning and defending champions and will be keen to hold on to the silverware for another year. However, they'll face an Onchan side who are chasing a domestic double, having claimed the under-18s league title 2 weeks ago with a 2-0 playoff victory over Union Mills. And in snooker, all of the top four teams suffered defeats in the latest round of Max Builders Merchant Snooker League fixtures, with just a handful of games of the season remaining. League leaders Q Zone Blinders were on the end of a narrow 3-2 defeat at Finchhill Musicians, but despite that, Blinders did end up increasing their lead at the summit to 2 points. Meanwhile, second-placed Hurricanes were on the end of a 4-1 home loss to Finchhill Reprobates. Elsewhere, third-placed Jacksons went down 3-2 to Q Zone Masters, whilst Finchhill Mob in fourth were narrowly edged out 3-2 by Peel Legion. As a result, Blinders lead the league on 60 points, with Hurricanes following behind on 58 and Jackson sitting in third on 56.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Everything looks okay at Ronald's Way. Inbound the 5 to 7 EasyJet from Manchester, the half past 7 EasyJet from Gatwick, returning patient transfer 5 to 8 o'clock Loganair from Liverpool, and the 5 past 8 Loganair from London City inbound, all reporting on time. Outbound the 6 o'clock Loganair to Liverpool, 7:25 EasyJet to Manchester, 8 o'clock to London Gatwick, all on time. The junction of Pull Road Road and Alder Road by the Methodist Church in Douglas closed for work on that new pedestrian crossing. Temporary 24-hour lights at Glen Crutchery Road. They may have gone by now by the 3rd Avenue junction. In Douglas also, the road's closed. Victoria Road closed between Broadway and Marathon Road. Narrow lanes from that temporary crossing on Victoria Street, we remember, is closed for 2 weeks from Sunday. Temporary lights at Annika Lane near the Heron for a new pedestrian crossing. Temporary 24-hour lights on the main road near Greve the Castle for resurfacing, and temporary lights on the main road in Ballabeg near Arbury Parish Hall for that new zebra crossing. South of Kirkmichael, there are temporary 24-hour lights on the TT course for substation replacement. Castle Street, one-way northbound in Castletown, and you've got temporary lights in phases around East Quay and the Prom in Peel. Temporary 24-hour lights on the main road between Peel and St John's for work on the pavement. Canals Lane closed between Parliament Street and Water Street in Ramsey for scaffolding work, and temporary lights on Market Place for the new pedestrian crossing. In Sandygate, temporary lights on Jervey Road and part of Dreamscurry Road from the Coast Road to the Venture Centre in Macauld closed for emergency repairs on an unsafe wall. Temporary lights on the TT course for tree felling at Glen Helen, and Ronagh Road is closed for resurfacing. Meantime, the Ballymena Road in Jerby's face closures, and temporary closures on the Regaby West Road for water main replacement.
H&H Motorcycles.im for all your motorcycle requirements. Southgate Industrial Estate, opposite Quayside Tyres. Call 665646.
Manx Utilities has reported a deficit of £30 million between March 21 and 2022 in its latest report. The details from Lewis Foster, but first of all, the voice of Jason Morehouse, MHK.
I would like to ask the chair of the Manx Utilities Authority when the authority's annual report for the year ending 31st of March 2022 will be published.
MHK Jason Morehouse asking that question at the end of February, and he was right. The report has been published later in the year than normal. The reason?
The reason for this taking longer has been due to Manx Utilities' primary focus being managing the ongoing energy crisis, resulting in some administrative processes taking longer than they would normally, and I'd like to apologise for that delay.
Tim Johnson, the former MU chair there, he's now Minister for Enterprise, with Tim Crookall taking his place in the authority. That said, it's Mr Johnson's face and statement that we see on the first pages of the report. In that statement, he acknowledges extraordinary wholesale energy prices in Europe during this time, spurred on by the war in Ukraine. He says the company has sought to limit the impact of those cost increases on customers as much as possible, focusing on cash management and cost control. That said, he's quick to admit it's put significant financial pressure on the authority. He adds, while the industry initially considered these issues would be short-term in nature, it's now unfortunately considered that high wholesale energy costs will continue for some time. Had it not forward purchase natural gas when it did, the MU says it would have paid an additional £24 million over that time due to the rise in the wholesale market. People on the island will be aware, though, of the impending rise in electricity prices here between April and July by upwards of 50%. You can find a link to that report at manxradio.com.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300.
A system that used to see retraining of gas-safe registered engineers here on the Isle of Man has not been reinstated after COVID. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture say facilities at University College Isle of Man, where training could happen, need to be updated. But companies who now use off-island training are unhappy. John Moss from Manx Radio News spoke to the Director of Energy Management Services, Leanne Harper.
We used to send our engineers down to a training facility in Tramode, where EDS, which is Energy Development Services, used to come over to the island.
They're from across the water.
They're from across in the UK. They would come over with one or two trainers for a period of time, maybe 1-2 weeks, and they would put on these courses, obviously, for all the engineers on the Isle of Man. We'd send our engineers for possibly 2, 3, or 4 days, depending on what training they needed, and then it was done. During COVID, we were given like 6 months leeway on our training. We've still not had EDS been able to come over. We were told by the government it was going to be a company called S-Gas that was going to come over and provide the training for us. And since, well, we've just not heard anything. We just don't really know what's going on.
So what training have you been doing? Have you been able to do? How do you organise it?
So we basically organise it direct with EDS, who used to come over, but we now have to travel to them. Okay. It's flights, travel time. You know, you're looking a day to get off the island, travel with an overnight stop in a hotel. Then you do 3 days worth of training. And then the following day, you'd have to travel back. So we're kicking on 5 days. That, you know, they'll reimburse us for some part of the travel. It doesn't cover their cost of wages. It doesn't cover the cost of them being away from their families. We've heard rumours, oh yeah, they're going to do it, they're not going to do it, this, that and the other. So we just got that fed up. We're spending hundreds and hundreds of pounds sending all our engineers away, and it's just ludicrous. So we emailed Julie Edge, the minister, on the 19th of January 23, and we've still not had a reply. We chased the educational department about that, and they said we were next on the list. So that was on the 20th of February. And yeah, what's the date today? They're spending more reimbursing all these people on the Isle of Man than it would do to send two people over to do training for 2 weeks.
That's it for Update tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Christian Jones, producer Rhiann Evans. Going to be back tomorrow with another update at 5:30. Stick around. Arts and performance with Howie Kane. Spotlight after 6. The Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley at 6:30. Opera with Ernie Thorne at 9. And Rhiann's back with After Hours at 10 o'clock tonight. WINT.